going to tell you a very special and beautiful story about something that happened nearly 2,000 years ago in a faraway country called Galilee. This story changed the world. It was a scorching, hot day, so hot that the shimmering air rising from the ground made everything look shaky and quivery. Dogs lay in the shadows panting. Cats curled up asleep in the branches of trees. No one in the village of Nazareth was outside. Everyone was indoors trying to keep cool. Mary was in her house, lying on her bed, half asleep, watching the sunbeams dancing in a pool of light on the floor. As she watched, the light suddenly seemed to get brighter and brighter, and like water standing upright, it took shape, a dazzling shape, the shape of an angel. Mary was terrified. "Don't be afraid, Mary," said the angel. "I have come to you with a message from God." The angel, who had a face of gold and eyes as dark as coal, spoke again. "God is with you, Mary. You have been chosen to be the mother of his son. You'll call him Jesus. He will be a great king, and his reign will never end." Mary was very worried, and she trembled with fear. She'd never spoken to an angel before. "But how can I have a son?" she asked. "I'm not yet married." The angel's eyes, as dark as coal, smiled. "Mary," he said, "trust God. Your child will be called God's son." Mary continued to stare, and a great feeling of calmness came over her. "Very well," she said, "I'll trust you." And when she had said this, the angel disappeared. Mary was so happy and excited, she didn't know what to do. She jumped off the bed and skipped about, and then Joseph, the man she was engaged to marry, came in. "Mary," he said, "what on earth are you doing?" "Not earth," she told him. "I've seen a part of heaven." And she told him all about the angel with the golden face and eyes as dark as coal. Joseph thought she'd had too much sun. He thought she'd made it all up and was being rather silly. After all, no one these days sees angels. "Go back and lie down and rest," he said. That same night, whilst Joseph was fast asleep, he had the clearest dream he'd ever had. He dreamt he was watching a pool of sunlight on the floor. And the light got brighter and brighter, and like water standing upright, took shape. A dazzling shape, the shape of an angel with a golden face and eyes as dark as coal. "Joseph," said the angel, "believe Mary and marry her. Don't be afraid. Her son will be God's son. You must call him Jesus. That means Saviour, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph woke up, amazed by the power of his dream, and because he trusted God, he believed Mary, and he kept his promise to marry her. Some months later, when Mary's baby was nearly due to be born, there was a lot of commotion in the village where they lived. Roman soldiers had come with hammers and nails to pin up notices onto trees for everyone to read. The Roman Emperor Augustus had decided he wanted to know exactly how many people there were in the Roman world. The notice said that everyone had to go to the town where they were born to sign a register, be counted, and pay tax. It meant that Joseph would have to travel to another country, the country of Judea. He would have to take his family all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where he had been born. It was a long way, and there were no cars or buses in those days. Can you imagine having to walk nearly 100 miles to go back to the town where you were born, just to be counted and to pay some tax? The villagers weren't very pleased either. It caused a lot of problems, but they had to obey the law of the Romans. Mary and Joseph set off. Mary rode on a donkey, and Joseph walked by her side. Their friends saw them off. "Take care," they shouted. "God bless you." "Oh, but he already has," called back Mary, and she waved at them. But no one knew what she meant. The journey took about 3 days, and when they arrived at Bethlehem, Mary was exhausted. It was so hot, and she was so uncomfortable. Her baby was nearly ready to be born, and Joseph was anxious to find Mary somewhere to stay. Bethlehem was packed with people everywhere. The inns were all full. "No room! No room!" cried all the innkeepers. "We're full up! Go away!" Joseph and Mary went on to the last inn in the town. It too was crowded with people, arguing and shouting. The landlord was trying to keep order. "Please," said Joseph in a quiet but desperate voice, "please, my wife needs somewhere to go. Her baby is due to be born. Have you anywhere, anywhere at all?" The landlord shouted to his quarrelling customers to be quiet. "Do you hear that?" he said. "You think you're hard done by. You think you've got problems. Look at this poor woman here." The room went quiet, and everyone looked at Mary and Joseph. Mary could hardly stay sitting on the donkey. Everyone could see the baby would soon be born, and people began to feel very sorry for her. At last, a woman spoke up above the silence. "We were going to have the stable, but your need's greater than ours. You go there." The others cheered, and the woman led them to the tiny stable behind the inn. There were cows there already, and a mother hen with her chicks, but there was still spare room and plenty of clean, dry straw. The kind woman and Joseph helped Mary to lie down and get comfortable, and she held Mary's hand, squeezing it tight. "We'll look after you," she whispered to Mary. And turning to Joseph, she said, "And you can go and fetch some food and plenty of water." That same evening, on the hills outside Bethlehem, there were some shepherds looking after their sheep. It was a glorious, star-filled night. The sheep were all penned in, and the shepherds, lying down on the grass nearby, gazed up into the night sky. "It's beautiful tonight," said one. "Can you see that bright star up there? I'm sure it's new." And he pointed almost directly above them. "Reuben," they said, "you'd better count them to see if there's an extra one." The others laughed. So Reuben, the youngest shepherd boy, began to count. 1, 2, 4, 10, 8, 100, he said. He couldn't count very well, could he? But he went on making up numbers. 2011. "Why don't the Romans count the stars instead of us?" asked another. "You can't tax stars," came a reply. And Reuben carried on. 60, 11, 999, 1,000,000. "Shh! Quiet a moment, Reuben," said the eldest shepherd. "The stars, they're singing." And he sat bolt upright. he stared up at the stars, which seemed to be getting brighter and brighter, sort of dazzling, especially the big one overhead. He rubbed his eyes. The singing grew louder, ringing in his ears. "Must be the party in Bethlehem," said one of the shepherds who'd been dozing. "No, it can't be. It's getting louder and louder. Look." Every one of them turned and saw the most amazing sight they'd ever seen in their lives. In a great pool of dazzling light stood an angel with a golden face and eyes as dark as coal, and around him the light danced and sang the most beautiful music they'd ever, ever heard. And then there was a voice like thunder, and the angel spoke. "Don't be afraid. I have come to tell you some wonderful news," he said. "Tonight in Bethlehem, your Saviour is born." There was a very long silence. The shepherds didn't know what to say. "Go to Bethlehem straight away," said the angel, "and find the baby all wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Once again, the music came as if all of heaven was singing with joy, and then it all disappeared. 11 and 20 million and 1, said Reuben. "There are 11 and 20 million and 1 stars tonight." They were angels. "Really and truly angels," said one of the shepherds, leaping to his feet. "Come on, you lot, let's go quickly," and he hared off down the hillside. The others followed. "Wait for me," shouted Reuben. "Hey, just a minute, shouldn't we take a lamb?" "Yes, yes, quickly, bring one," they said. Reuben grabbed a tiny lamb and nestled him down the front of his tunic, and then he ran and ran to catch the others up. "Hold on tight," he panted to the lamb, who peered out, looking rather bewildered. They found the stable. They found the manger. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. It was all just as the angel had said. They all stood nodding, whilst the eldest shepherd excitedly told everyone exactly what had happened on the hillside. Reuben stepped nervously forward, taking the lamb from his tunic, and he gave it to Joseph. "I've brought a lamb," he said. It's from all of us. It's only small, but there's a lot of love to go with it." "Thank you," said Joseph. "Thank you all very much." And Mary smiled, keeping her thoughts locked up in her heart. After they had all wandered past to see the baby Jesus, the stable door suddenly opened, and there stood 3 tall, handsome men with wise eyes and kind smiles. They looked like kings. "We have travelled for many days," said one, "following the brightest star we have ever seen in the east, and it's led us to this stable. We have come to find the King of all kings." And they came in graciously, carrying gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They knelt humbly before the baby Jesus and laid down their presents. And then, without another word, they went out into the dark night and galloped away. "Who were they?" asked Reuben. "I counted 3. 1, 2, 3. Were they kings?" "Yes," replied the eldest shepherd. "I'm sure they were kings. They came to see Jesus. He'll be the King of all kings." The shepherds could see that Mary was tired, so they gathered themselves together to leave. It had all been so exciting, especially for Reuben, who stood before the manger and wondered how he could always remember this amazing night. Then he looked at all the presents. He'd never had any himself, and he decided that every year he would give away a present to someone he loved and tell others to do the same, so that every year he could remember the birthday of Jesus and be happy. Reuben skipped after the others, counting the houses as he went. 1, 2, 3, 18, 7, 41. Do you think he'll ever learn to count properly?